This is Louisiana Considered. I'm Carl Lengel, and on today's show, Putumayo's Dan Storper is going to join us and talk about Linda Ronstadt's new CD, Feels Like Home, Songs of the Sonoran Highlands. Up first, though, from the website, the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center, Capital Improvement Plan is in early stages, getting a green light in 2018. Improvements include unique immersive interventions, including the addition of a third level with flexible multi-purpose space that has a dramatic view of the Mississippi River. Designs for the renovations to the Convention Center's 140 meeting rooms and public spaces are further along. With 1.1 million square feet of prime exhibit space in an entirely contiguous hall, the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center provides the largest single exhibit space in the country. It features an award-winning staff, first-class amenities, and is the sixth largest convention center in the nation. A leading contributor to the city's robust tourism economy, the Convention Center's event activity has produced $90.1 billion in economic impact since its 1985 opening, including $5.7 billion in new tax revenue for state and local governments. Just recently, New Orleans City Business, a weekly business newspaper, is named Michael J. Sawaya, Convention Center President, as one of New Orleans' most notable industry newsmakers in the field of tourism. This special distinction is given out to individuals who make headlines for their newsworthy contributions to their respective industry and consumers they serve. Since joining the center in 2018, Sawaya has stewarded multiple transformative projects that are reshaping the facility, positioning it to enhance its competitiveness. In the national event industry and its place in the New Orleans community. Joining us now is New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center President Michael Sawaya. Michael, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
My pleasure to be here.
So you came here in 2018, and then within 2 years, you were dealing with the effects of the COVID, which, because we're going to talk about the capital improvement plan, I would assume there was a bit of a setback during those 2 years due to that, or did it help?
You know, certainly an unanticipated setback, but we didn't rest on our laurels during that time. You know, when we talk about implementing a capital improvement plan that's over $500 million, there's a lot of planning activity that has to take place. So while we were dealing with things that were out of our control and we weren't hosting events in the building, we spent a lot of time doing things that we could do and planning and designing and really looking into what are the new innovations into the future that we're going to incorporate into our transformed building. So while it was a setback, it was valuable time that we needed to really transform our 3 million square foot building.
Let's talk about some things that are in this, starting with the 7.5-acre pedestrian park. Where are we on that, for example?
Well, I was out there today. We're hosting 10,000 attendees for the Autodesk University, and it's just incredible the transformation into building a 7.5-acre pedestrian park with wide sidewalks and beautiful landscaping. It's just a completely different and safe environment that we welcome our attendees into that was certainly vastly different than what I walked into in 2018. And it was completed at the end of 2019. And, of course, without hosting events, we were ahead of schedule and fortunately under budget before costs went through the roof. But we were able to really create something very special in New Orleans, a new city street and a new cityscape.
People are always very hopeful that when they attend any event of any size institution, the restrooms are okay. A little problem there for a few years, but that's been straightened out, I understand.
We have 35 sets of restrooms. That may be one of the biggest buildings in the country as far as number of restrooms that we house. And, you know, because we didn't have events, we were able to complete those within the course of about a year. That process probably would have taken us over 2 years working around events. But we were able to do that when we didn't have attendees. And they really came out very nice because, you know, it's one of the things we hear the most about. Whenever you let those things get away and they get dated, then our customers let us know very quickly that it's time for a renovation.
It has drawn the attention of a lot of people around, not just the country, but the world, in the fact that we are considered pretty green for a convention center this size.
Honestly, we had fallen behind most places in the country, and of course, you know, related to Katrina and the setback that came from Katrina, it was really a challenge for us to get our program in order here. And again, with improvements made into the building, we were able to change out all of the lighting in the exhibit hall. And we're talking about 1.1 million square feet of exhibit hall. And about a $13 million project to change out all that lighting to LED lighting. And that's just one of the many projects that we've done. And, of course, you know, then the roof is right behind it. And those are things that give us a lot of opportunity to show our leadership role in energy and conservation.
And that roof replacement is underway currently. That's about a $40 million roof replacement, right?
Well, it's under design. We haven't started yet, but we believe that we've come up with a real innovative approach that mirrors the type of roof that they have at the Caesars Superdome. By doing that, you know, we anticipated about a three-year project, about a $40 million project. But by using technology currently available and having a 40-acre roof to deal with and trying to work around events, by using that new technology, we're able to do that within about a year and not having an interruption to our event load. And unfortunately, costs have gone up. It's about a $48 million project today because of just the inflation related to it.
Recent inflation. The last couple of things I want to talk about are important things to any business that has to move or industry that has to move a lot of people around in short spans of time, and that's informational technology systems. Also, your renovations for air conditioning, because you want those people to be comfortable, especially in a tropical climate. So those have been improvements too also, right?
Certainly. And, you know, technology is one of those things that our clients expect for us to have the latest and greatest. So the reinvestment into technology is critical, and it has to be continual. And one of the things that we put into place in 2018 was a technology master plan that really puts us on a pathway to about, you know, on a regular basis, keep our systems upgraded. You know, and you reach a point when our building was actually built in three phases, and originally in 84, an expansion in 91, an expansion in 99. At some point in time, all of the cabling related to that has to be one vintage. So we're recabling the entire building right now. And in addition to all of that, of course, we do have to replace chillers and all the equipment that cooling towers and things of that nature. That in a 3 million square foot building has to be new and has to be functioning at its peak capacity and have backups just in case something fails. So, you know, people, if they toured our facility, they'd be amazed at the energy plant that we have here and what it takes to run a building of this size. But it's pretty impressive, and another opportunity for us to be leaders in sustainability when we put the latest and greatest equipment into our facility.
So let's talk a little bit about the riverfront development, getting away from the center. Well, not so much away, but away from what the center is mostly about. There are some other things going on that are tied to the center. And I think one of the most important things is a big increase in affordable housing units around the convention center. Why do we need housing around the convention center? It's all for the guests, isn't it?
What's very unusual in our opportunity is you're right. Convention centers typically don't have land for development. In this particular case, our vision was to create a mixed-use neighborhood that is residential, retail, entertainment, those things that really help recreate the destination and enhance the destination appeal. And, of course, you know, housing being an important part of that, we're looking at about 900 housing units of, you know, a mix between affordable and workforce housing and market-rate housing and condominiums. And the master developer that we've chosen, a group called RDNI, has committed to 450 of those units actually being in the affordable and workforce housing category. And that's important for the workforce in New Orleans, for our employees here in the area, you know, to really be able to walk to work, you know. And, you know, we tend to get really busy during big events. and work long hours, it would really be a nice enhancement for them to be able to have affordable housing in close proximity.
If we're coming back up to getting on our feet full time, how's it look?
Well, 2022 has been a surprisingly wonderful year for groups, and by the end of the year, we'll be closest to 95% of our 2019 levels, which is ahead of schedule, and we're excited about that. You know, we announced last week that beginning in January, this January, we'll be hosting the Miss Universe pageant competition, if you will. That'll be the middle of January. And then we get right into the carnival season. And for many years, have hosted Orpheus and Bacchus and Zulu and Femme Fatale, this next year we're going to be hosting Endymion, because the Superdome is under construction and can't host this year. So in addition to our carnival season. And then we'll get right into, after Mardi Gras, hosting one of the largest conferences in the world with the American College of Cardiology that will bring, close to 30,000 people to our community.
Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
It was my pleasure.
This is Louisiana Considered on WRKF and WWNO. I'm Carl Lengel. We've been speaking with New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center President Michael Sawaya. A few episodes back, Putumayo's Dan Storper stopped by to update us on the cultural brand's activity during the pandemic and shared that a Linda Ronstadt CD was in the pipeline. Dan's back to share some previews of the project, Feels Like Home, songs from the Sonoran borderlands, Linda Ronstadt's musical journey. Over six decades, Ronstadt has been celebrated as an icon of the American music scene, recording everybody from Michael Nesmith's Different Drum to her celebration of American big band orchestras with Nelson Riddle. The Putumayo release complements a book release, Feels Like Home, Songs from the Sonoran Borderlands, Linda Ronstadt's Musical Journey. Here to sort out the music for us is Putumayo's founder and CEO, Dan Storber. Dan, thanks for dropping by today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Wonderful. Well, I kind of want to start with something that I've noticed about Putumayo. You take a label people will call, for example, New Orleans, I think is a great example of this. You put out a CD called New Orleans, and people discover that it's not just this or that, it's everything in this whole mix of just different cultures that have been here for years. And every CD, it seems like, that you put out, Afro-Cubano, was, you think you know what Afro-Cubano is, and you listen to Putumayo CD and you go, now I learned something new. This has that same feel in a very unique way, and you understand that a lot of that music comes out of cultures that exist because of a seaport or there's some reason, some crossroads. One would not take the Sonoran borderlands as a crossroads necessarily, but this CD is a crossroads of all of the different cultures that mix in that particular geography. Congratulations. How do you do that?
Well, thank you, Carl. I mean, I'll tell you, this is an unusual, it might be called a one-off, because Linda Ronstadt, who I've been a fan of for decades, since the 60s, was about to put out a memoir about growing up in southern Arizona in what is essentially this area called the Sonoran Borderlands. And the memoir was being published by an old friend of mine, his publisher, publisher of Heyday Books in Berkeley, California. And he contacted me and said, Dan, you know, we're about to put out this memoir of Linda's, and it talks a lot about her musical influences and many other things, including cultural and food and other things that she grew up with that made her who she is, has been as a singer and a cultural icon. And we wonder if you'd be interested in doing a compilation of some of her favorite songs, some of the songs that inspired her. And I thought about it for a nanosecond and said, wow, what an interesting idea. You know, this is something I'd never really contemplated before. And I said, yes. And so basically we began that way. And this was the end of December of last year. And he, with Linda, put together this song list for me to listen to that were the songs that influenced her. And then I also explored her own repertoire and had not fully realized how much Latin-influenced music, Mexican-influenced music she had actually recorded starting back in, 87. And she recorded three Latin albums, one of which, the first of which, was the best-selling Latin album in American history. So even though she published a lot of, recorded a lot of material, I hadn't fully understood how deep her influences and repertoire went. And so the idea was to kind of essentially do what Putumayo does, which is curate, select songs that would appeal to a broad audience that were based on the musical influences that inspired Linda over the years. So as a result, we kind of used both original tracks by older artists, but also a lot of songs that were recorded by Linda with other people, and people like Jackson Brown, Ry Cooder, even Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris. And funny how people don't even think much about many of these artists being cultural explorers. And, you know, naturally, people like Taj Mahal, who's on the album as well, is known as one. And Jackson Brown increasingly has been. But Neil Young played harmonic on one of the songs. David Hidalgo from Los Lobos is on it. So the idea is this album, which is called Feels Like Home, Linda Ronstadt's Musical Odyssey, is essentially a compilation of songs that inspired her growing up and over the years.
How was the process in putting it together? Did you get to observe much of that as the musical elements were coming together and matching to what she had already done?
Well, yeah. One of the things that really always is an issue is when you find songs, whether you can actually track down who is the owner of the repertoire, especially for older music. So there were a few songs we were interested in that we could not get find who owned it, if anyone did, so that we couldn't license the songs. But basically starting with about 50 songs that were the most important to her, we went through the process of trying to find, you know, the versions that we liked the best that we thought would appeal to a Putumayo, which is kind of the idea of universal music that would appeal to people of all ages and background. And the idea was not to just do a Mexican album and not just do songs that she herself recorded, but to combine. I think there are three or four songs that she recorded that are on Feels Like Home. She actually recorded a country album or country-ish Americana album about 20, 30 years ago, also called Feels Like Home. So I want to make sure people aren't confused about it, which did have Dolly Parton and a couple of other artists, Emmylou Harris, featured on this album as well. But on this one, you know, what we've done is tried to put together not just the music, but we incorporated a lot of written material that Linda used in her book. And it's important for me to say that I think her memoir, Feels Like Home, is probably one of the most interesting books I've read in the last 10 years, 20 years, because it really does talk about what life is like on both sides of the border. You know, does what Putumayo does, which is to try and introduce people to other cultures in a positive way and not have other cultures be demonized or made to appear negative. And so what Linda really has tried to do is say that life on both sides of the Mexican border are very similar, and they just stuck a border right through. And all of a sudden, the people on the south side of the border are looked at in negative ways. And the idea is that they're part of a similar culture. She happens to have a background of, you know, a family that loves singing, that loves food and cooking. So this is a celebration. The book and the music is a celebration of what really made kind of this unusual 200 or 300 mile stretch of American meet Mexican borderlands so unique and special.
Anything particularly that you enjoy off of it?
Every one of the songs has a story behind it, and she's actually written notes about most of the songs on this in the liner notes that are part of the album. One of the songs that I really like is one that was recorded by Ry Cooder with Lalo Guerrero called Barrio Viejo, because it talks about the loss of some of the historic buildings and lifestyles that were or cultural elements that were part of growing up. And Lalo is a legend, and he sang to Linda when happy birthday and serenaded her because he was a good friend of Linda's father and when she was only 3 years old.
Let's give a listen.
Viejo barrio, barrio viejo, solo en lugares parejos, donde un día hubo casas, donde vivió nuestra. nuestra raza. Solo quedan los escombros de los hogares felices, de las alegres.
One of the songs I really like, which is not typical, is she did a version of a classic Cuban song and called Piel Canela, which is interesting because it also shows the way Caribbean Latin music has influenced other parts of the world.
Que se quede el infinito sin estrellas, o que pierda el ancho mar su inmensidad, pero el negro de tus ojos que no muera, y el canela de tu piel se quede igual. Si perdiera el arco iris su belleza, y las flores su perfume y su color, no sería tan inmensa mi tristeza como aquella de quedarme sin tu amor. Me importas tú.
I'm wondering, is this the beginning of a new chapter for Putumayo? You keep finding these new ways to bring the world to the world.
Well, it's funny. Latin music is a big part of what we do. And since we really try to connect the dots between artists and music of different cultures, this idea of cross-cultural connections through American artists that are known is an interesting way of an entree into kind of international music.
Well, certainly food and music, as we know in New Orleans, is the great combination that we all have. And any opportunity for people that have been doing something that they enjoy doing for 40 years to share some recipes with me, I'll take that opportunity. Dan Storper, it is a pleasure always to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Carl. Great to be here.
We're going to take it out with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. With Bruce Springsteen's Across the Border, you'll hear a little harmonica in the background, Neil Young pitching in. Putumayo's new release comes out September 30th. The book follows in early October.
Tonight we'll sing the song, and I'll dream of you, my corazón. And tomorrow my heart will be strong.
This has been Louisiana Considered. I'm Carl Lengel. Thanks to our guest, New Orleans Morial Convention Center President Michael Sawaya. Putumayo's Dan Storper. Our managing producer is Alana Schreiber. Digital editor is Caitlin Dumholz. Engineers are Garrett Pittman, Aubrey Purcell, and Thomas Walsh. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at 12 noon and 7:30 in the evening. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Without hope in our hearts, that someday we'll drink from God's blessed waters and eat the fruit from the vine. I know that love and fortune will be mine somewhere across the border.
Major support for Louisiana Considered is provided by Rouse's Market. It's a Louisiana shopping experience with additional support from Southern Strategy Group.